My name is Kat, and today's scripture reading is Psalms 63:1-8. If you do not have a Bible, please raise your hand and usher will get one to you. If you're using a church Bible, it is page 479. Psalms 63:1-8. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help. And in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. That's the reading of the word.
Thank you, Kat.
Seems like there's a little today that we really want. And I just lose my time. Okay, that's fine. We live today with little that we want. The time of instant gratification. We have things like, you know, Amazon Prime, which I'm like, we get whatever we want in 2 days or less.
We have video on demand, right? Or Netflix, which means we can just get it right away whenever we want it. We can find out almost anything we want by just taking up our phone and speaking to it. Like, we could say, what is Advent? And it would tell us or show us what it is. Instant gratification for whatever we need. If we desire something, we can just go online, right? And in a few clicks, we can buy it. And it'll be shipped to our door. We can even buy groceries. I'm finding out now, more and more grocery stores are doing this, as well as Amazon, as now you can buy groceries through them, and they will deliver it to your door. Instant gratification is more and more what our American life is, in a sense, being the norm of expectation. We're not accustomed to waiting, and very few of us probably have much patience because of this norm that we expect. So longing after something is uncommon, where we long for something we don't have. And longing, to long for something, is simply to have a yearning desire for whatever it is. And we have somebody, I'm sure, that can relate to that, and even those of us who are friends of Richard Leung know that part of grief is not only a sadness for this dear brother who passed away this past Thanksgiving Day. He was supposed to be doing sound today, but he's not here because the Lord took him home. But you can imagine his wife today, Irene, is longing for her husband, who has been taken away from her, at least temporarily, because she has hope in Christ. But longing is having this yearning desire for whatever or whoever it is that we long for. And Psalm 63, that Kat just read for us, is filled with this longing for the desire for the Lord God to be in His presence. King David wrote this psalm when he was in the desert of Judah. And if you take a look at the map behind us, you can see the Dead Sea. I'm kind of in the way here, aren't I? You can see the Dead Sea over to the top right. And then there is the hill country of Judah. You can't quite read that, but that's in the middle. And there's next to the Dead Sea is all that dry, arid land. And you compare that to the green coastal plains near the Mediterranean. So you can see better here, the lake, or it's the Dead Sea right there in the middle. And then you see Judea up at the top left. Right in there, that hill country of Judea, there's the wilderness between the Dead Sea and the hill country wilderness of Judea. That's where most likely Psalm 63 was written in this desert, arid, dry land when King David wrote this psalm. David described his longing for the Lord God as in the same way that he had a thirst for water in this dry, weary land. Very common to think of being thirsty when you're in the part of a country where the water is scarce. And then you might say, well, this Dead Sea is right there, but they call it the Dead Sea because it's full of salt. It's nothing lives in it, not even fish. Anything lives in that because it's so full of salt. Has anybody here been in the Dead Sea? I'm just curious. I know my wife has been there. Did you go swimming in it? Yeah, you didn't go swimming. She's not a strong swimmer. No, nobody's here. But if you go into there, you don't even have to, tread water, right? You don't have to tread water. You can just lift your arms and feet out of the water, and you'll float with your head out of the water because it's so buoyant because of all the salt in there. That's why they call it the Dead Sea. So David's thirst for God was like his thirst for water in this dry and arid land. And he is thirsty for God in the sense of his presence. He wants to be in the presence of God. And then you have to remember, at this time period, it's not like now where God's Spirit is with all of us who believe in Christ, but it was that God was everywhere then, but the Jews saw that being in the presence of God meant to be at the temple in Jerusalem. That's where God's presence dwelt, special. And so when he's saying this and writing this, he desires to be in his presence back in the temple. And we'll get into why he's not in the temple at this point, or near the temple. And he desires to know and love the love of God more deeply. So the question for us today is, are we thirsty for God? Do we have a longing for Jesus? Is there a longing in our hearts to be in the presence of the Lord God? I don't know if you knew this, but our bodies are made up of 2/3 of water. Kind of weird to think about it. I don't feel like 2/3 of water, but that's what the studies show. That they've revealed that many people today actually live without drinking enough water to keep our 2/3 at the right level. 75% of Americans are chronically dehydrated. That's the going studies have thought, estimated about that. And there's this one survey that was done, about 3,000 Americans, and they found that 75% likely had a net fluid loss. This is for every day, and that just means it results in chronic dehydration. And what the survey also found is that Americans drank 8 servings of hydrating drinks, which is kind of the amount we're supposed to be drinking. But what offset that is that we all drink dehydrating drinks as well. Like, and you probably know some of that, but it's alcohol, though some of you shouldn't be drinking alcohol at your age. Alcohol and caffeinated drinks that make us, and also eating a high diet of filled with sodium, which is in everything, salt. These are all dehydrating practices. So many of us here today are probably mildly dehydrated. Do you feel like it? Yeah? You do? Yeah. That's good. It's actually good if you feel it, because then you should do something about it. What are you going to do about it, Nathan? You should go get a drink of water. You got any water with you? Okay. Yeah, so most of us are probably sitting here mildly dehydrated and we're not even aware of it. We're not even thinking that, other than Nathan. He's in tune with his dehydration, but he's not doing anything about it. When we are thirsty, we always find something to drink, right? Except for maybe during the sermon, because it might not be appropriate to get up and get one, I guess. But we usually find something to drink, and really, that's our body. It's actually too late when we actually feel thirsty. Then our dehydration has gotten to a point, to an extreme, where our body is saying, hey, I'm thirsty. And so it's already too far when we actually feel thirsty for us, and it's giving us this warning signal called thirst. And it's interesting that many of us here are not even aware of the fact that our bodies are thirsty and need water all the time, throughout the day. But we just don't feed our bodies that water. And so we're mildly dehydrated. Well, if ever our body gets more than mildly dehydrated, then more serious symptoms do occur. And this was a big concern for me when I was leading mission trips of youth in previous churches to this place called Reynosa, Mexico. It's at the southern tip of Texas. And it's really hot there. And so dehydration is a big concern for us, especially we did construction projects and worked outside with VBS programs and things, because the average temperature in the summer here is 95 to 100 degrees in the shade. And then you throw in the humidity there, and you're outside building homes and doing VBS, and you're sweating like crazy. And some people sweat a lot more than others. And, you know, so there's all this body fluid coming out. You have to input body fluid. And so it was common for us to train our people and our youth to ask each other, especially during the work breaks, when was the last time you drank water? Did you drink water? When was the last time? And we'd always be asking that to make sure everybody kept drinking water. Even if we were not thirsty, we needed to drink water. We knew that because we would become very dehydrated. And if you don't do it enough, you get what they call heat stroke, which your body just goes into like shutdown mode, and it's not a good thing. And so that's what we did. One guy was giving us a rule of thumb that seemed to work well. He said, just drink until you pee. Because if according to water at least, if you're drinking enough water and then you're going to the bathroom, then you know your body's at least hydrated enough because it's starting to get rid of some. But I tell you, every time I've been in Mexico doing things like this, and I would drink so much water, not once did I ever go pee during the day. It just like somehow it just came right back out in other ways, you know. But it was just continuing to try to hydrate ourselves. And I often had a headache when I was at the work site in Mexico, which I knew was an initial sign that I wasn't getting enough hydration. And I remember one day, I was like, okay, because I was one of the leaders, so I was always busy, and so, you know, I had all these excuses why I didn't pay attention to drinking enough water. But this day, I was like, I'm going to drink enough water because I'm tired of these headaches. So I would, on our work breaks, I always drank, but I didn't drink enough, I figured out. So I just kept drinking. And that day, I didn't have a headache. That one day. And then the others, I wasn't paying attention as much, and I just had this mild headache all the time. You see, the problem for most of us is that we're not even aware that our bodies need this water. How many of us here are maybe mildly dehydrated, and we're not even aware of it? We're not aware of this. Our bodies are thirsty for water, and yet oftentimes we misinterpret the signals our bodies are giving us as just feeling tired physically. Or we're feeling a little sick, or maybe we feel a little hungry. But actually, it's just because our bodies need water. We need to just input some water. Well, knowing our need for water and drinking the right amount helps us to live more physically healthy lives. But in the same way, King David knew that how to live spiritually healthy life for him and for all of us who follow Christ, the Lord God, is to drink in his presence regularly. All the time, throughout the day. He knew, and that's what he desired and longed for. How long can a person, on average, live without drinking any water? No water. How do you think? Anybody? Throw it out. 3 days, that's right. 3 days is a going rule that some people have lived longer. I mean, those people like you found in the rubble of an earthquake, 5 days, they find them and they're still alive and they haven't drank anything. But 3 days is usually the giving rule. How long can you survive without food? It's up to 3 weeks you can go. Well, I wouldn't suggest trying that. It wouldn't be pleasant. But it's 3 weeks we could go without food, but 3 days only without water. So it's really interesting that this analogy that David uses is the same, that how long do we go without the presence of God, seeking the presence of God? Let me ask you this. How long has it been since you have made time to get alone and seek to drink in the Lord's presence? Has it been more than 3 days? How do you think that's affecting your spiritual health? You're definitely dehydrated. You're shriveled up, dead. If you've gone more than 3 days, if you use this analogy. Now, more than 3 days is not healthy, so it's this daily, not only daily, but it's this momentary. Every moment of the day we live in his presence, and then we are spiritually hydrated in the presence of the Lord God, drawing on his sustenance, the living water. Just the fact that we don't seek to be in His presence often is evidence that we don't think we need the Lord God. If we don't long for His presence, then it's evidence that we don't think we actually need His presence. We don't need Him to do our daily life. So we need to develop and understand how and what is preventing us from longing the presence of the Lord Jesus in our lives. It's amazing that David wrote Psalm 63 in the desert of Judah during such horrible circumstances in his life. And let me give you a little background story to help us understand the context of this psalm that Kat read for us. So Psalm 63 was most likely written around the events of 2 Samuel chapters 15 and 16. And to understand these events, I'm going to just bring us back a couple chapters before that, in chapter 13 of 2 Samuel, with David's son Amnon and his daughter Tamar. They were half-brother and sister, meaning they didn't share the same mother. David was their father, but King David at this point had different, multiple wives. Okay, so they were half-brother and sister, and Amnon raped Tamar, his own sister, half-sister. And King David was furious when this happened, but he did nothing about it. And then 2 years later, David's son Absalom, who was Tamar's full brother, the same mother, same father, killed Amnon. He murdered his half-brother out of revenge for raping his sister. This is a really dysfunctional family, if you didn't know, that David's family, King David's family. And so Absalom then, after murdering his brother, fled the city, Jerusalem, and lived in a city called Geshur for 3 years. King David grieved his murdered son Amnon. But again, he did nothing in response to this. Well, then, after 3 years, King David allowed Absalom, his son who murdered Amnon, to return to Jerusalem. And this is when Absalom began to influence the people of Israel in his favor against, in a sense, his father and king, David. And then after about 4 years of Absalom's constant influence and seeking favor with the people, he got the support of enough people, so he set himself up in the kingdom as king of Israel against his father. And so much so that King David was in fear of his life and of his family and the people and his followers that they left and fled Jerusalem toward the river Jordan into the desert of Judah. And this is most likely the time of his life, King David wrote Psalm 63. So during the time that he was betrayed by his own son, David longs for the presence, to be in the presence of the Lord God. And he is moved to sing Him praises. Think about that with this situation that's happening. The more David lost himself in the awesomeness of the Lord God's presence, the more he was comforted in his time of great distress. And this is the living water that Jesus offers you and me through faith in Him, is that if we can live in His presence, then no matter what comes our way, whatever the circumstances, we can at least find comfort and strength and sustenance and joy in the presence of our Lord Christ. So understanding this context, let's listen again to verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 63. David writes, O God, You are my God. Earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh faints for You. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water, so I have looked upon You in the sanctuary, beholding Your power and glory. So David cried out of his deep longing for the presence of the Lord God. Why? Because David knew and had experienced God's presence before and significant points in his life where God had shown Himself with David in powerful ways. One famous story of David, right, when he was young, before he was king, was when he killed Goliath. He saw God's hand in that time of his life where God came through and conquered this enemy of Israel. He also experienced and saw God's protection when he was running for his life from King Saul, the first king of Israel. And Saul was trying to take his life. against God's plan. And then he also experienced the Lord's hand with him when he defeated the Philistines. And you see, the more David rejoiced in the Lord, singing in praises, the more his soul was satisfied in the presence of God. And if we follow Jesus, if we trust him as Lord and Savior, then we have experienced God firsthand. We responded to God's call in our life by placing our faith in Christ, Jesus, as Lord and Savior, by admitting our sinfulness and our need for salvation because we were condemned to punishment because of our sin against God. And so when we come to acknowledge this, we respond to God, and then we experience God's presence enter us as the indwelling of His Spirit comes. And we have this encounter with the living God, and that is the beginning of our kindling of a longing for Him because of this freedom we experience in Christ. Like David, the more we know the presence and the love of the Lord Jesus in our lives, the more intense our longing grows for Him. Whether we realize it or not, we are thirsty for the Lord. But instead, we live spiritually dehydrated, drinking other things, trying to satisfy this thirst that we feel. David realized his thirst and drank from the Lord's presence. Listen to some other ways the scriptures speak of how we are satisfied in the Lord's presence. It's throughout scripture. I'm just picking out a few here to show how the scriptures bring this out. Psalm 42, it's a song that we sing sometimes. Not recently, but it's an oldie and a goodie. Listen to the verses that it says here. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Psalm 143:6 says, I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Isaiah 58:11 says, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Matthew 5:6, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. They will be satisfied. And in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow within him. We just heard that earlier. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So the presence of the Holy Spirit that comes through faith in Christ indwells those who believe, and there we have the presence of God right here in us, available to us. The reality is God is not only in our midst, He is in us who believe in Him through His Holy Spirit's presence. God's Spirit is with us. And the evidence of God's Spirit being with us is the fruit of His Spirit, which is mentioned in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. So is there evidence of the fruit of His Spirit, His presence with us, as we read these verses? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. A good illustration of this story is the story of when the Apostle Paul and Silas, his companion, were severely beaten and thrown in the prison for preaching Jesus, about Jesus. And while they were in prison, instead of being frustrated and upset and depressed or angry, they sang praises to the Lord God out of the joy and peace and love that they had in Christ, despite their situation, their circumstances. And the other prisoners were listening to them and were amazed. You see, God's love and joy and peace were flowing through them because they were drinking in the presence of their Lord Christ, even in this horrible situation they were in. See, only the presence of God's Spirit enables you and me to respond to circumstances in this way. It's unworldly. It's not what we expect. It's because it's supernatural. It's divine when we drink in the presence of God. As King David did, let's also use our need for water to hydrate our bodies as an analogy for our spiritual health, our spiritual need. So most of us, like I said, aren't even aware that our body probably needs more water than we have. And it needs more water so that we can function at a good rate for our body to run its normal processes. You know, we live unaware of our dehydration. Well, it's the same spiritually. Many of us live unaware of our soul thirst. We live unaware of our need for the presence of the Lord in our daily lives. We strive for things, trying to satisfy our thirst by our achievements. And yet, whatever we achieve, it leaves us empty. Whether it's work, you know, getting promotions at work, or getting a raise, or whatever it is, or doing straight A's at school. All those things that we achieve, being the best swimmer, being the best runner, being the best at whatever, those are things okay to strive for. But if we're just striving for those things to be an achievement, to give us self-worth, it's empty. Because our worth doesn't come from those things. Only comes through Jesus and the worth He has bestowed on us. We're not satisfied then. And it's only the presence of the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, that can satisfy that thirst that you and I have, that soul thirst that every human being has. It's only His presence. And in order to enjoy His presence, we just simply must humble ourselves and acknowledge Jesus as Lord and come to Him and acknowledge Him as Savior. And then give our hearts and lives to Him, placing our faith in Jesus. And then we will become spiritually hydrated as we regularly drink of the Lord's presence. So hydrating beverages promote this proper retention of water in our body so that our body processes can function. And you probably know what some of those drinks are, right? Water. What are some others? Juice. Soup. Probably depends on how salty the soup is. There's carbonated soda, but it can't have caffeine. Any caffeinated is not going to work. Those kind of drinks are hydrating. Milk is one, too, that we could do. But then what are the most common dehydrating beverages that we drink? Coffee. Tea. Carbonated drinks that are full of caffeine. Alcohol. Any kind of alcohol. Wine, beer. Those are all what we call diuretics, which simply mean that they help the body produce an outflow of fluid, and that's usually in urine. So it makes you have to go pee, right? You drink a bottle of Pepsi or whatever, what do you got to do? You just got to go. It stimulates outflow of fluid, and so we end up being more dehydrated. And in the same way, we have spiritually dehydrating habits that you and I practice that then prevent us from focusing and centering on the presence of the Lord God who is right here among us and in us. We're just so busy drinking of other things that we think will satisfy us. For one, planning our day like we're in control of our day. How often do we do that? I'm guilty of that often. Right? We wake up, we plan out our day, we have a thing in our mind, we have our list to do or whatever we got to do for the day, and we go into the day and we live the day thinking, I'm in control. But we don't ever acknowledge the sovereign Lord. It's not that we shouldn't plan our day and make a list to do, but we do that in the context of His presence, knowing that, okay, this is what I plan to do today, but I know, excuse me, Lord Jesus, that whatever Your will be done is going to supersede mine. So my day may end up being a really bad day, but I can also have joy and faith that Your will be done and Your will be fulfilled ultimately. So that's one dehydrating habit, is we just plan our day like we're in control. You know, I would imagine that the Leung family, as they gathered for Thanksgiving and they had cooked and prepared, and Richard and Irene had cleaned their house and done laundry and done all that, and they had their family over and they had the food on the table, And then Richard felt the pain in his back and he went to the bedroom and he collapsed and he died. You can imagine that day did not go as planned. We never know when God will call us home. We don't know how God's plans will affect our plans or supersede our plans. But if we plan our day with the thinking like, oh, it's got to go the way I want it or I'm going to just be upset. You know, how often do we say, how was your day? And you say, oh, that was horrible, right? It's okay because it might have been horrible. But God's plans are always going to be fulfilled. That's where we can have our hope. Another spiritually dehydrating habit is building relationships with others simply to satisfy what we want to get out of it. In a sense, our own longing to be accepted, to be respected, to be loved, to feel belonging to a community. If that's the reason you and I build relationships with people of what we can get out of them, then we're going to be spiritually dehydrated because, again, that's going to be empty. It's not going to be fulfilling at all, not satisfying to our spiritual thirst. Only the Lord Jesus can satisfy this thirst we have because only in Jesus can we find true satisfaction, true acceptance, true love, because He loves us. He accepts us. Our identity is in Christ, not in our friends or our family or this community. Though in Christ, He draws us together as a community. If we go to Jesus first and see Him as Lord in every moment, in every relationship, then we will be spiritually hydrated. So there are some symptoms that we are spiritually dehydrated. Let me throw out a few here. We find ourselves tired all the time. Now, I'm not talking about physically tired necessarily, but also emotionally, spiritually tired, which then goes into we lack motivation to read or to pray or to spend time with the Lord or in God's Word. Another symptom is we lose our joy for the Lord, meaning we lose our joy for life. We're just kind of going through life, and whatever we do is a drudgery. You know, our school's a drudgery, our work's a drudgery, life's sucks, and you know, everything's bad, and you know, and then it bleeds into the next symptom is that we have a bad attitude. Everything's a burden. You know, it seems like we're bothered easily by others or circumstances or whatever happens. We just got this like, it's so bad. Everything doesn't work out for me. And you know, it's basically me. And that's why we have a bad attitude and we're spiritually dehydrated because we're not drinking in the Lord's presence. We're just out of focus. We're just focusing on ourselves. And we're more sensitive and easily angered or upset because we don't have that inner peace that comes from drinking in the Lord's presence like the King David had done. We can simply go through the list of the fruit of the Spirit if we want to look at more symptoms of being spiritually dehydrated and take the opposites of those. So let me list those out. If we flip the fruits of the Spirit, see if any of these are signs of dehydration in your life. You have apathy, distress, chaos, impatience, rudeness, insensitivity, immorality, disloyalty, self-indulgence. Any of these signs that appear in your life, and I'm not talking about a one-time occurrence, I'm talking about a life pattern that is developed in your life, then you are spiritually dehydrated. You're not drinking in the presence of the Lord enough. You're focusing on yourself too much. And I include myself in that statement as well. Look at the disciples of Jesus after His resurrection. These 12 guys that had been traveling with Him after His resurrection, there was 11 of them, plus the hundreds of others that had been following Him. But everything was different in these men's lives after their encounter with Jesus and His resurrection. Everything had changed for them. Which is why we know that people who profess to be Christians, followers of Jesus, and their lives have not changed at all, they're deceived. Because there's no sign of change. Because you cannot encounter Jesus without change, as we see in the disciples' lives. All kinds of people who have supposedly made a decision or prayed a prayer and accepted Jesus into their hearts, but live their lives without change, you wonder, where's the change? Where's Jesus? Because if Jesus is there, there's going to be a change so dramatic that it will be obvious to them and to others. You cannot encounter Christ without change. They're saying they're Christian, but the reality is they don't really know Jesus because there's no evidence of it. Because when we know Jesus, everything begins to change in our lives. And we long for Jesus. One pastor put it this way, and I thought it was a very effective illustration. Imagine this morning that I got here late. I mean, really late. So, like, maybe as late as some of you guys. I don't know. But we see each other in the parking lot. Hey, but pastor, you should be in there, you know. So service started. Pastor Paul and his team, Jonathan, were there playing, and they did the worship songs. I'm not here. And then they finish, and Kat comes up and reads the scripture. Okay, we're just imagining this. She finishes, sits down. No Pastor Jeff. I'm not here. So you guys are like waiting. 5 minutes go by. 10 minutes go by. 15 minutes go by. Your awkward silence. Everybody's like, what are we going to do? Where is Pastor Jeff? And all of a sudden, the doors burst open, and I come running in. I'm out of breath. I come up to the front, and I'm like, I'm sorry I'm late. But I was driving down Route 27 to come here because I lived down south in 27. I'm coming up, and I got a flat tire. So I pulled over, and I was changing to fix, going out to fix the flat tire. And as I'm getting the tire changed and whatever, I made a mistake, and I stepped out into Route 27, into the middle of the road, and this Mack truck hit me. Wham! And, man, it hurt. It hurt really bad. But I got up, and I got back, and I finished fixing the tire, and then I finished driving to the church. And that's why I'm late. Now, if this was the story I told you, there'd be one of two things that you know. Okay, first is that I'm lying, right? Or second, I'm very deceived by believing this story myself. And you know this because if a truck actually hits someone, they're going to look a lot different than they did before, right? They're going to be dramatically changed if a Mack truck hits them. And based on this reality, I'm pretty sure that if you and I come face to face with the Almighty Creator, the Savior King, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, and He reaches into our hearts and He changes and redeems us from sin and self, we will be dramatically changed. We won't look like we did before. And we will be able to see that on the faces and lives of others around us and in our own life. Dramatic change. Everything's changed when we come face to face with Christ. Jesus makes us new and gives us this longing to be with Him in His presence. So how do we stay spiritually hydrated? Living in the presence of the Lord God. That's how we do it. And to do this, we simply just need space and time. Now, this is not going into science fiction mode here. Space and time. I simply mean we need a space, a specific location that we go to drink in His presence. Yes, God is everywhere. And we should be in mind of His presence as we walk through the day. But I mean a specific place that we go regularly, daily, to just drink in His presence. So for me, it's the reclining chair down in my basement. I go down there every morning, and I bring my cookies or whatever I'm going to eat, and my tea or coffee, and then I sit there, and I pray, I read, I study God's Word. It's not the same amount of time every day, but it's that space that I go every day, as much as I can, I do it every morning, first thing. So I have that space, and it's a special space. Or there's a time, too. I do it at the same time every day. So we need space and time. And the reason why I'm emphasizing this is because this is a pattern, a regular pattern. We don't have to think about it when we drink, right? We have water everywhere. It's the same way for the Lord God. We shouldn't think about it. If we need, we realize God's presence is here, we can stop, pray, drink in His presence at any time. But a regular space and time is needed every day for you and me to drink in His presence and be refreshed and satisfied in Him and Him alone. And this is why we provided the Advent devotional hopefully you guys all got it. I'll talk to you about it at the end of service. But you should have gotten an Advent devotional, because we want, Pastor Paul and I want you to have this structure for at least for the next 30 days before Christmas Day, of that we are all at least ingesting and focusing on the same things. It's very short, so you can do a lot of other things during your time with the Lord as well. Are we longing for Jesus? Do we desire to be in the presence of the Lord God Himself and be refreshed and see Him working through us to touch the lives of others around us? Do we desire that? How can we lead others to encounter Jesus our Lord if we're not regularly encountering Jesus our Lord? We can't expect to do that if we're not having that experience ourselves. Can we say to the Lord God as David did, and let's read this together. Go ahead, put it up there. Let's read Psalm 63:3. Ready? Begin. Because your steadfast love is better than my life, my lips will praise you. Now, did you pick that up? Let's read it again. I added the word my life to make it more personal. Let's read it again. Because your steadfast love is better than my life, my lips will praise you. The scripture just says better than life. This is more general. But that would include my life. Is God's love, is His truth better than our own life? If we don't believe that, then we're going to focus on our own life rather than Him. Who do you long for? Who are you longing for? What we long for is what we love. That's who we long for. And do you love Jesus? Do you long for Jesus? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word and the challenge it is to us. And we